Well, we had a great ride today and some visited some great places. It was fun today. And hopefully no one will freeze to death tonight as we have this meeting. But it's always good to end our day talking about the Word of God and to encourage our hearts. And we need to be encouraged in the Word, and you need to be encouraged in your life. And it's wonderful that we can take the Word of God and have the Lord minister to our hearts. So let's ask for the Lord's blessing, and then we'll look again at Scripture. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day that you have given to us. We recognize that we cannot live, we cannot serve, we cannot obey apart from your grace. We're absolutely dependent upon you. We're thankful for your provision for us. We're thankful for your grace and mercy and your strength and power. And pray that you will open our hearts this evening as we look into your word, and pray that you will guide us once again in your truth. We're thankful for our time together. We ask your blessing to be upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, we're looking at Scripture, and we're talking about authority. But if you're going to talk about authority, pointed out, the authority begins with God. And He is the one who has created us, and we rebelled against Him. And it is His divine purpose in the course of time to reestablish His authority. And that is what He is doing at the present hour. And one day He shall complete that process and be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But in our lives, it is important for us to see the plan and purpose of God and for us to submit to Him. I'm not talking about submission in any special term. I'm not trying to make it a distinct or a second work of grace. I'm simply talking about what it means to encounter God. And when you encounter God, He is the authority. We submit to Him. And the promises of the Old Testament Scriptures were given with reference to the Messiah, because the Messiah was coming. And the Old Testament was opportunity for the saints of old to look forward to the coming of the Messiah, the coming one. And when He came, they rejected Him. All a part of God's plan and purpose. Everything happens according to His perfect will. But there was this rejection, this response to the authority of God, and they said, no, we don't want a Savior. We don't want someone to rule over us. We don't want a king. We don't want, they said to the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't want you. And you look at that in the Scripture, and it's sort of like looking at the Old Testament. You see the many times that the children of Israel rebelled against God, and we look at that and we shake our heads and say, well, that was terrible for them to do that. But we must make sure that that's not our response. And our response to the presentation of the Lord Jesus Christ is to submit to Him. It is to bend the knee, to bow down before Him, and to acknowledge that He is God, and that He is the Lord God over all of creation and over our lives. And in the passage we looked at in Matthew, we talked about how there are two things going on. One, you have Jesus Christ coming and assuming the authority that God gave to Him. He didn't make it up. It's the authority that God granted to Him. And He entered Jerusalem as the king, and He cleansed the temple, because it's His temple, because it's His house. And He preached the word and preached the truth and confronted individuals who did not receive Him. Because two things are going on: this presentation of the authority and then the response to that. And the Jews failed to recognize Jesus Christ as the Savior and as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our responsibility is to receive Him and to respond in a different manner. But I don't want to give the impression that when Jesus Christ entered into Jerusalem, that was the first time He sort of expressed this authoritative position, or who assuming that a role. Because if you look at Scripture, the beginning of that goes right back to the beginning of his ministry. And I want you to look at a number of passages tonight. But what I want to do tonight is I want to point out how the authority that God granted, that God directed to be assumed and fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, is an authority that God as well has placed in His Word. And we say that we are Christians and we believe that the foundation for our faith is Scripture alone. And this is our God-given authority that He has granted to us. And what Scripture says, that's what we believe. And what Scripture commands, that's what we obey. Because this is from God. So we're talking about how you come to that position based upon the Word of God. And the first is to recognize God is the absolute authority over us. And He has revealed Himself in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has spoken the very Word of God, which is recorded for us in Scripture. So that we stand and we say, this is the Word of God. This is the authoritative Word of God. This is not just a nice book. It's not a great book. It is the authoritative Word of God. What it says is true. What it promises will happen, and God's purposes will be completed exactly according to this word. This is the authoritative word of God. What it commands us to do, we must do. And when it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, that's a promise that is absolutely true. And we say, that's the truth for me. I believe what the word of God says, because this is God's authority. So I want to see the transition between the authority that God has invested, so to speak, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the authority that God has granted and invested in His Word. And we'll sort of see that tonight. When Jesus Christ was baptized, in Luke chapter 3, you have the Spirit anointing Him for ministry. And one of the first things that happens is in chapter 4, and verses 5 through 8, you have the temptation. I want to just focus on one of those temptations just for a moment this evening. But it's an authority that focuses on authority. It's a verse that a temptation focusing upon the authority question. And I'm speaking of Luke chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority. Right at the very beginning, he's talking about authority. The devil is talking about authority. The word refers to, it is the word authority, but it refers to a domain. And by speaking of the whole of this domain, but it's as if Satan says, all of this domain, this under my authority, all of this authority I will give to you. And their glory, I will... The devil said to him, all this authority I will give to you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. Now, there's a great temptation in this, because the Lord Jesus Christ came to establish the kingdom, and this is sort of a very easy way to establish the kingdom, to bow down before Satan, and to receive all the authority is a lot easier than to go to the cross, to suffer and die in our place for our sin, and to have our sin imputed to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the perfect Son of God, sinless Son of God. And Satan says, I'll give you the easy way for this, because you have to have authority. I'll give you the authority. You can get it from me. And the Lord Jesus Christ responds by saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only you shall serve. You shall worship the Lord your God. Him only, He's the authority. Get behind me. God is the authority. You get authority from Him. And when Satan rightly recognized what Jesus Christ was doing, as He was coming in the authority of God, this was sort of an attempt to sidetrack Him. And you'll notice that when He talks about authority, He talks about bowing down. Because really, when you recognize the authority of God, you bow down to Him. And Satan says, recognize my authority and bow down to me. And the Lord says, that's not where authority comes from. Authority comes from God. And He is the one who possesses it, and He's the one who grants it. He's the one who gives it. And Jesus Christ is very clear of in that simple truth of understanding that He is the authority. He is God. He is the authority of God. And He is not going to go and get that authority somewhere else. It doesn't come from Satan. It doesn't come in any other place. It only comes from God Himself. And then when Jesus Christ began His ministry, each one of the Gospels, each one of them, have a statement in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 29, in Mark chapter 1 and verse 22, and in Luke chapter 4 and verse 32, where it says, as Jesus Christ was teaching, they were amazed at His teaching, for His message was with authority. His message was with authority. Each one of the gospel writers felt like it was very important to make that same statement. And they occur at different times in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's very, very important for that statement to be made. And it makes you sort of think about listening to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes when I speak, I'll come to a particular passage and I'll say, there are several interpretations of this verse. And the first interpretation is this, and the second interpretation is this, and the third interpretation is this. And I'm not really sure what it is. I sort of think that it is this, and I may choose the second one or the third one. But I'm not exactly sure. And there are passages that we struggle to interpret. They're clear, but we struggle to come to terms with some of the things that are being stated there. And so I can speak in that sense, and I've often thought when it said that He spoke with authority that he never made those kind of statements. I know He never made those kind of statements. He never said, well, you know, it could mean this, and it could mean that, and it could mean that. I think it means this. Because it's His Word. And whenever He spoke of the Old Testament Scriptures, He just quoted them in very a strong fashion, but He says, this is what it means. So I think that's part of what it means when He spoke with authority. But I think there's more to it than that. I think that when He spoke with authority, there was a sense about His speaking that indicated they were listening to the voice of God. And that's sort of a whoa sense of standing and saying, you know, He speaks. And when He speaks, He's not just a charming speaker or sounds good or He's very... This is the Word of God. And each one of the gospel writers, when they mention that, because the people, when they heard Him speak, got to that sense. This is God speaking. You can get a little bit of that from John chapter 1 when it says, and the Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was again. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word that's used there is the word logos. And the picture of John chapter 1 is of God speaking. And when God speaks, the Word comes out of His mouth. He's going to communicate to us. And the Word comes out of His mouth. And the Word that comes out of His mouth is Jesus Christ. When you all, you know, speak to one another, you communicate by words. You know, I don't walk around and say, I'd like to tell you a joke. And you say, oh, what's a joke? I go like this. You go, what was that about? That was a weird... I'd say, well, don't you get it? You know, if I want to communicate, I communicate with words. And we talk to one another. And we communicate by speaking. And the Scriptures say when God communicates to us, when the Word comes out of God's mouth, the Logos, which is what the Greek word, when the Logos comes out of God's mouth, you see Jesus Christ. He is the Word. And what that means is that when God communicates Himself, when God wished to communicate Himself most clearly, the clearest revelation of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. Clearer than Scripture. The clearest revelation of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when God spoke to communicate to us, what came out of his mouth is Jesus Christ. So if you want to know God, you need to know Christ. It is the clearest manifestation that God has made. And so when Jesus Christ spoke, he spoke with the authority of God. This is God speaking. And there was a sense of that. So it's not just he had a great understanding of Scripture and the meaning of Scripture. He stood in the authority of God. And the people knew it. That's what makes the rejection of Jesus Christ even more just slanderous. That he would speak and they would slander the name of God by saying, well, this is not God. It's just ridiculous that they would do this. But it's the hardness of the human heart that hears the very voice of God and says, we don't want it. I've often thought, you know, if you have someone who could give the gospel message to a loved one. We all have friends or family that we would love to be saved. And I've often thought, wouldn't it be great to have Jesus Christ give that word, give the gospel? Nobody would ever hear him give the gospel and say, no, I don't want that. But the scripture says that that's exactly what happened. As Jesus Christ came, he spoke with authority, and the people said no. That shows you the hardness of the human heart, the depravity of the human heart. That you would stand in the presence of God and say, no, thank you. Don't want it. But Jesus Christ came, he spoke, and he was very clear. The scriptures say, very clear about communicating the word of God. Now let me give you some passages on this. Look at John chapter 12. My fingers are not frozen. I'll be able to find it too. But turn to John chapter 12. And look at verses 49 and 50. It says, Jesus Christ was speaking. He's talking about believing in him. In verse 49, he says this. He says, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say, what I should speak. I know his commandment is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. What he's saying is, when you hear me, you're hearing the Word of God. You're hearing what the Father wants me to communicate. That's a very wonderful thing for him to say. And I've often thought about the disciples walking with the Lord Jesus Christ and being able to ask him questions. I think that would be just such a wonderful thing. You know, there's a lot of different issues in the Bible. It'd be fun to be able to say to the Lord, hey, you know, how did that happen? You know, someone has pointed out that since the New Testament, which was written after Jesus Christ's ministry, but the New Testament, it talks about Jesus Christ, that Jonah, no sign would be given but the sign of Jonah. And as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days in the earth. And someone pointed out, which I never thought about, but they pointed out, you know, they think Jonah was dead in the belly of the fish. And that God raised Jonah from the dead, just like Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. So I thought, well, that's interesting. I kind of like to walk next to the Lord, and be walking as he's walking from one town to the next and say, I have a question. What happened with Jonah? Was Jonah really dead in the belly of the fish? I mean, I could write a commentary. I could be famous. But, because that'd be interesting. You know, did he die just because it's an accurate, it would be a really an accurate picture if Jonah himself died and God raised Jonah from the dead. We know he's praying in the belly of the fish. Or to say to him, you know, how did that creation, how did that go? You know, how did you create out of nothing? Seems like there'd be a lot of questions you want to know, but it, the text indicates that, that Jesus Christ, in his ministry, and I think probably in his conversation, well, we don't have record of that, but in his ministry, was very aware of the fact that his purpose was to communicate what God wanted him to say. I think he was focused and very attentive. That's what he says here in this particular passage. He says, I'm telling you about eternal life. This is what God himself wants me to tell you. In other words, Jesus Christ was not a great story teacher. He was not a great more. He was a great communicator of the will of God and the words of God. He says, I'm telling you what the Father wants you to know. That's what you're hearing when you hear me. He says that very clearly in this particular text, and you look at John chapter 14. Same kind of thing, John 14, in verses 10 and 11. Here Philip is having a conversation about the Lord. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Verse 6. And then Philip says, well, show us the Father. In verse 10, he says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak you, I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does the works. I don't speak on my own authority. What does he mean? He says, I'm speaking the word of God. I'm communicating the truth of God. And we say, well, everything that Jesus Christ said is the Word of God because He is God, so everything that came out of it. But He said, that's not my mission. My mission is to speak the Word and the will of God. You'll know exactly what God wants you to know. And He makes that clear. In John chapter 17, and verse 2, when He's praying, He says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And Jesus Christ was focused on this ministry, the ministry of life, eternal life. Revealing the truth that we need to know concerning our own salvation, the salvation that only he can provide. That's his ministry. It's an authoritative ministry. And then when he talks about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, in John chapter 16, the same passage where Jesus Christ is departing, and he's explaining to the disciples what is about to take place. In chapter 16, and verse 13, I know I'm having you look at several passages, but it's good to see this. He talks about the ministry of the Spirit. He says, and when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority. He's not coming to do His own thing, so to speak. That's a bad way to think about the Trinity anyway, because God is one. Three persons, one God. One will of God, one God. Three persons. But He says He does not speak on His own authority. But whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you the things to come. He will glorify me, for He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So the Holy Spirit's ministry is a ministry that is an authority ministry. A lot of times today, the ministry of the Spirit is sort of depicted as a ministry that is for us a blessing kind of thing, to receive special kinds of gifts and blessings that God would give to us. But the focus of the Holy Spirit's ministry is this ministry, the ongoing ministry of authority. Jesus Christ came and He said, I'm speaking what God wants you to hear. And He says, when the Spirit comes, the Spirit is going to speak on the authority of God, and it's going to communicate the message of God. He's going to take my words, and he's going to take my words, which are the words that our God has spoken, and he is going to communicate that to you. If you look at this, the scripture is just very clear in pointing out the authority of God that is in God, that is in Christ, that is in the Holy Spirit. And God is the Creator, he is the Lord, he is the King, he is the ruler, he is in control, and he speaks with authority. And when he came, he spoke, not just something you could think about, he spoke and he says, this is the truth. You need this truth. It's a very odd thing when people take their Bible and pick and choose the things that they want to obey, and pick and choose the things that they want to do. It's an odd view of authority because it's not God's view of authority. When God has given us his word, he's given us a word to be obeyed. And when people rejected him, he stood before them and he said, he didn't say to them, well, you know, there's other ways. You'll perhaps find another way in your life, but I'm just trying to make it easy for you to go the best way, but there's something else. No, he said, if you don't believe me, you are destroyed. I will fall upon you in judgment. If you fall upon me, you will be destroyed. If you try to kick me out of the way, you will be destroyed. And if I fall upon you in judgment, you will be destroyed, because God comes with his authoritative word. And it is the very word of God. Now what's interesting is when he comes to the end of his ministry, Matthew chapter 28, and just look at this passage. This authoritative ministry is a continuing ministry. In Matthew 28, it says, all authority has been given to me. All authority has been given to me. We usually jump over that verse, because we're ready to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. But the beginning statement is, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And in earth. All authority. And so he didn't say, all authority has been given to me on earth, therefore you go and do whatever it is that you want to do. And that's not the thrust of what the ministry is. The biblical ministry, the Christian ministry, is a ministry of God and of his authority. It is, thus saith the Lord. This is God's word. And Jesus Christ said, I speak to you the very word of God, and the Holy Spirit, when he comes, is going to speak to you the very word of God, because what you need is the authoritative word of God. And he's very clear about that. Now he says, all authority has been given to me, therefore I want you to go and communicate the very word of God. Communicate the very word of God. And that's our responsibility. You say, well, you're a preacher, and we're just people. Okay, that doesn't change anything. Your responsibility is to communicate the word of God. All of our responsibility is to hear the word of God and obey, but we are to go and make disciples. How do you make a disciple? Well, it's an authoritative ministry. A disciple is someone who has to come under the authority of God. And we speak the authoritative word. Now, that brings us to the passage that Jeff wanted me to get to from the very beginning. And that's 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm going to say something about it, and then I'm going to come back to this passage. So don't feel like I've jumped away from this one. But look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 16, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's the only part of the verse I want to read right now. We'll read the rest of it later. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. This means all scripture, the word inspiration, means inspiration. It means inspiration. It means God breathed. Every word of the Bible, every word of the Old Testament, which is directly referred to here, this particular statement, but every word of revelation is the very word of God himself. all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You have 40-some authors over a 1,500-year period of time writing the very Word of God. And the reason why the Bible is such a unique book is because you have 40 different authors over a 1,500-year period of time in which you have complete agreement. But that's because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is the authoritative Word of God. And our responsibility is to take the authoritative Word of God and to, well, if you read in this passage and go to the next chapter, is to preach the Word. Is to proclaim the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, preach the Word. But do you notice that there's a charge that is given before the preaching of that Word? That's the charge. But he says, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. I charge you in the presence of God, preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. That's not the authoritative Word of God. They'll be turned aside to fables. You know, the example of this in the earlier chapter is, and I won't take the time to go there, I don't think my fingers will work on my Bible anyway, but freezing up here, is Moses going into Egypt. And he goes to Egypt, and the Lord says, perform these signs. And he would perform these signs, and then the magicians would come, and they'd perform the same signs. And you'll notice when the magicians came and they performed the signs, the right after that it would say, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And it was the same kind of ministry, but a different. It looked the same. Looked exactly the same. But not the same. And that's alluded to in the passage that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where it talks about that, know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Then he goes on to talk about the struggles that take place with reference to this. But he says, but you, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, you preach the Word of God. And we're coming to a day and age when the church does not believe in the authority of Scripture. What's going to happen to me in September is I'm going to go back to school. I'm trying to graduate from high school. I've been trying for 7 years. I can't graduate. They never let me out. But I go back, and the kids come back, generally speaking, on a high. You know why they're on a high? Because they go to summer camps. And they get all the kids revved up. You know how they get them revved up? Well, there's a lot of ways of getting them revved up. But they, usually they have, I've watched them sometimes. School does this as well, but I've watched this kind of thing. But they take them and they have a large group of people like this, and they get a musician up in front or a band up in front, and they play for a long time. You know, the meetings will start right after dinner and go till 10 o'clock. You think this meeting's a long time, just think about being here from like 6:30 till 11. But it's a different kind of meeting. Because they have this meeting, they sing all these songs about God, and then they say, we'd like you to share about your hurts and your problems and your difficulties. And so people start sharing things. And what happens as they start sharing things is they start sharing things they probably shouldn't share. It gets pretty dicey. I've gone been involved in one of those meetings, and I went to students afterwards and I say, you know, that's the first time you've ever told that story in public, and that's the last time you should ever tell that story in public. But they talk about their sins, and they talk about their problems, and they have huge emotional meetings, and people weep and they cry. And they supposedly get closer to God. I'm not exactly sure how all that works, but it, you know, it's and so they come to school and they're all revved up, they're fired up, and it doesn't last. And so they just go every summer. It's like they have these meetings and have all these, and all the camps do those kinds of meetings, getting people all revved up and just fired up, and they have prayer times, and you know, then somebody will tell some story and the whole group has a group hug. You know, it's like, I stay away from those. I get claustrophobia in the middle. I think, you know, you're like that. You know, it's just, so don't, I don't tell stories and those things. I don't want to get hugged. But it's not authoritative. It's not the Word of God. Does something happen in those meetings? Yeah, something happens. What is it? I don't know. I still can't figure it out, but I don't know what it happens. But I know it's not the authoritative Word of God speaking to people's hearts so that their hearts and lives are changed by God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And the Apostle Paul says, by the inspiration of God, when those kind of days come, when people go to other things and myths and formulas and manipulation and all kinds of things, when that happens, your responsibility is to preach the authoritative Word of God, to tell the truth. And that's the ministry that we have. That's one of the reasons why when you come to church on Sunday, we do the same thing all the time. It's always interesting to me in times when we have the singing of the hymns. Sometimes we'll have someone who leading singing and they forget to tell people to stand up at the hymns where we stand up. And, you know, people start standing up. You know, it's because we do the same thing all the time. It's like we're creatures of habit and we just... But when it's time to stand and sing, we stand and sing. But you'll notice in the churches, in Trinity Bible Church and Hillcrest Chapel, there is the preaching of the Word. And I'm not stupid. And I know that if you really want, I look at the other churches around, if I know how to build a big church, you get a big music program, and you have a different style of ministry, and you can build a big church or a big thing going on. I don't exactly know what it is, but you can build one. But that's not the authoritative ministry of God. And when you come to church, one of the reasons why 45 minutes is spent with someone standing up and saying, "Thus saith the Lord," is because we're Christians. And we are hearing the Word of God. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and the responsibility of the pastor who stands up in front of you is to open up the Word of God and say, "Thus saith the Lord." It's like I like to say at Hillcrest Chapel, I've never taught anything new. Never taught anything new. I teach all the old stuff because that's what we need to hear. Because all of the old stuff is the authoritative Word of God that is inspired of God, that was the focus of Jesus Christ's ministry, that is the focus of the revelation of God, that He has given that we may know Him. And there's a lot of different ways you can feel good and have feel-good experiences and be deeply moved and for things to happen to you. But there's only one way to be changed by God. And that is to come to His authoritative Word and to bow down before Him. And at Hillcrest Chapel and at Trinity Bible Church, we never apologize for the kind of ministry that we have. Now, I have people come one time. There's a couple I remember that came in and they wanted to use the chapel for a wedding, and we don't really do that, but they came into the chapel, so they came to one of our services. I think they were willing to join the church if they could use the chapel to get married. But I remember, you know, they're sitting on the back row, and the service started. And after about 20 minutes of speaking, they were fidgeting. They're like, you know, like looking at his watch, you know, like, what is going on with that thing, you know? Like, and they look even at the back wall, at the thing on the thing, you know, like, what is going on? These, you know, pastors speak 20 minutes, don't they? What's the deal with this? And it kept going and going and going. And they were just totally shocked that we would open up the Word of God and preach the truth. But the church is for Christians. It's the place where Christians come together to hear the Word of God. And that's our ministry. And that's what the church does. And I know that a lot of churches are doing other things, and we're never going to change. Never say never, but we're never going to change by God's grace. But we're going to be faithful to the Word of God. Not because it's just what we've always done, but because it's the authoritative Word of God that transforms people's hearts and lives. And people may have itching ears, and they may want to hear one kind of thing and hear another, but that never changes their hearts and lives. It is only one can change hearts and lives is God, and He does so through His Word, and that is His strategy. It will always be His strategy. And so we must be faithful in ministering the Word of God and faithful in telling others. You have people, you have friends that need help, give them the Word of God. They're not Christians, give them the gospel. Then give them the Word of God. But we live in a day and age when people don't want to hear the Word, but that's exactly what they need to hear. And we need to be faithful. We believe in Scripture alone. But we believe that Scripture alone is the authoritative Word of God that transforms hearts and lives. We should be praying for revival. We should be praying for awakening, that many people will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through His authoritative Word to the glory of God. Because God is still accomplishing His work in our midst. He's still accomplishing His Word in our, His purposes in our world. And we need to be living and looking for God's purposes to be accomplished. So I'm always encouraged. You should be encouraged in the authoritative Word of God. And you should be thankful for your church. And you should be thankful for a ministry that preaches the Word of God. We sing the hymns, not because other music is bad. There's all kinds of music that you can listen to. I hope you listen to all kinds of music and enjoy it. Except for rap music, which is not music. It's my opinion. It's the only time we get an amen, but that's all right. I'll take that. But there's something hokey about that. I don't know what it is. But music is a wonderful thing. But we sing the hymns simply because we believe the hymns are not inspired of God, but they teach the Word of God. And they teach the truth that is in the Word of God. Some better than others. Some make mistakes. Some are wrong. But the hymns are a wonderful way of preaching the Word. And we need to be faithful to the Word of God. So be encouraged. Be encouraged with your church. Go to church. Hear the Word of God. Read the Word of God. You need it in your life. And not just because I say so, but because it's the very Word of God. And we'll talk about how you read the Word and how you go about that process later. We can stay up all night and I'll talk about it. But probably in the next few nights we'll talk about some of that. But be encouraged. And be encouraged that this is God's Word that is designed for you to change your life and to make you like Jesus Christ. And submit to Him. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We're thankful that Your Word never goes forth without accomplishing Your purposes. And we live in a world where no one wants to hear Your Word. And everyone wants to be their own authority. But we're thankful for the ministry of Your Holy Spirit. And we're thankful that Your Word is powerful. And that it accomplishes Your purposes. And our confidence, Lord God, is in You. As You send us forth to make disciples, we ask You
to go with us, as you have promised in that text, with all of your authority to accomplish your purposes in the hearts and lives of people who need to hear your truth. Open our hearts to hear your truth. Change our lives. Make us to be like Christ. We ask your blessing to be upon us. In Jesus' name we pray.